Lord. Praise. It's always a good thing to praise the Lord. Pretty good, General. Thank God for that. I'm going to go right ahead and read the word. And we're going to have a reading from the Old and the New Testament. This will be from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse 1 through 9. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded you to teach, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. We've read Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verses 1 through 9. From the Old Covenant, may God bless the reading of his holy word. And now from the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Mark, for our ongoing study, Mark chapter number 12, verses 28 to 34, reads like this from the King James translation. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God, and no man after that durst ask him anything. We've read from Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 34, verses 28 to 34. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And we're going to speak today from the topic of the measure of Christian growth. And this is, of course, the follow-up to the lessons that we've been having, where we've been seeing the Messiah coming into confrontation with various factions. On last week, we saw he was in conflict, actually, with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and also the Herodians. We talked about how the religion and government basically are things that God designed that had been misconstrued by the Jews, the people of God, the covenant people, and that they were now in an unholy marriage together working against Messiah, who was truly the one, the Christ, the one that God has sent from eternity in order to come and deal with the problem of sin, but yet he was rejected by the religious leaders of his time. And we saw also, first of all, the Pharisees and the Herodians came together trying to tempt Jesus last week to ask him if it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar. And of course, he told them that they should render to Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God's. And so we saw later that the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection, came and tried to present some poppycock to the Lord about something that was taught in the Apocrypha that said that a woman had seven husbands and they all died and each brother married her. These were seven brothers who married one woman and never had any children. They wanted to know whose wife would she be in the resurrection. And Jesus told them that they did not understand the scriptures neither the power of God. And they said, he said basically that he was God, was the God of the living and not of the dead. And so he said they did greatly err because they did not know the scriptures, neither the power of God. And so our conclusion is that we want to learn and know the scriptures, because to know the scriptures is to receive and experience the power of God. And so today we want to talk about Christian growth. Here was a scribe who came out from among all these religious leaders who were all mistaken and they were all working against the Lord. And the scribe came with a sincere desire to know the truth. He heard the answers that Jesus gave here in Mark 12:28. It says that one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, he had heard these conversations between Jesus and the religious leaders and the Herodians. And perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, he asked him and said, "What is the first commandment of all?" And I guess he was really a sincere seeker who really wanted to know the truth. And so he comes, because Jesus' questions and his answers to the questions that they had put to him to try to catch him in his words basically were good answers. And so now this scribe who really wants to know God comes to him, and he is now asking the question, "What is the first commandment of all?" And he wants to ask Jesus. I don't think he's trying to catch him in his words, or he doesn't have any insincerity based on the following conversation. And so Jesus answered this one scribe who came from out the group. Keep in mind, a scribe was like a lawyer. He was one of the keepers of the law that wrote the things down and made records of things in the days of Israel. And so he comes and he asks Jesus, "What is the foremost commandment of all?" In verse 29, Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'" And he quotes from the verse that we read for our Old Testament passage from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, that verse is esteemed even today by Jews and those who practice Judaism as being what they call the Shema, basically. And they take it, you'll find this if you go to a Jewish person's house, they'll have that scripture written on something and fastened inside their doorway, so that when you come in, that you will see the Shema. You will pass by the Shema when you go in and when you come out. The reason they do it is that they took what it said in the Old Testament literally rather than taking it figuratively, as the Lord, chances are the Lord meant it. I guess it's okay to do it literally and put the Shema there, write it there on the door, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," and so you can see it. But actually, he wants it to be very familiar to you. That's the whole idea, the reason why the Lord said the things that he said. Now, keep in mind, let's look at it once while we're looking here. Verse 4, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." That's the key to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, that God wants the word in your heart. He wants it hidden in your heart. Basically, not so much writing it on your wall or on your door and those things, although he did say, as he went on, he said, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." He doesn't only want it in our hearts, but he wants the children also to know the truth, the word of God. "And thou shalt talk of them when thou sit in thy house." We want this to be common language in the house, to talk about the word of God. "And when you sit down in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up." That means all day long speaking about the word of God in our homes, teaching our children and our family. And then he says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." Some of the Orthodox Jews actually took those scriptures and put little leather wraps around their hands with the scriptures written on it. You'll see them today sometimes, people calling themselves Orthodox Jews. They'll have a leather wrap around their head with boxes of scripture hanging in front of their eyes, literally. And they took this literal, although God really meant that everything you see, I want you to see it through my word. Everything you do, I want you to do it through my word. I want your hands to operate in the things of God. I want your eyesight and to be filtered by the word of God. I want your thought process and the things that you see and behold and allow into your mind to be filtered by the word of God. That's what he really means, because that's what he meant when he said you shall have it as frontlets between. It says as frontlets between your eyes. And he says, "And thou shalt write them on the post of thine house and on thy gates." In other words, your house should be a godly house. Everything about it as you come in and go out. And to say to have them as frontlets on your eyes means that you can't see anything without seeing the scripture first. And so that's what the Lord really is talking about there, is that we should filter the whole world through the word of God. simply put. But the Jews took this literally, and many of them actually put these boxes on their head and on their hands, and they hung them on the door and on the gate and all that, which I guess that's okay as long as you have it in your heart. You can put it on your hand, your head, whatever you want. But I think that's really not what the Lord was teaching. He wants them to have the word of God in their mind and in everything that they do. And so that's what we desire even today. And so Jesus gave this answer, which was very respected, to the scribe who came and asked the question. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord," reminding him of the Shema from the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 30 in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment," he says, "and the second is like, namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And so what Jesus said is that if we could learn that, just we could grow in Christ and even in godliness in general by knowing that everything that we need is in the word of God. If we love God supremely above all other things and love people as God loves people and as we love ourselves, is what he says, because the greatest love you can know is how you love yourself, because you know that completely. You understand that better than you understand how you love somebody else, because you are yourself and you know exactly how you feel about yourself. So if you were to treat other people like that, then you could also understand and spread that love that God has for us. And so I think Jesus was given the superior and supreme example because everybody knows how they love themselves. And so what we want you to see is that even when you are associated with a larger group of people, such as the church, a family, or any other organization, that God will consider you as an individual based on your personal understanding and choices. Okay, this scribe, he came out from the group with all the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They all had sour attitudes. They were working schemes against God. He perceived that Jesus' answers were right, and so he came with a legitimate question, and Jesus said he was not far from the kingdom of God, even though he was in the midst of all the other people who were working against the Lord and trying to catch Jesus in his word. So the Lord will single you out, and you should have a personal relationship with him, no matter what your association with the church, with your family, with any organization or any other thing that would bind you with other people on earth. And so God will still consider you as an individual based on your own personal choices and understanding. He knows how much you know. He knows what you understand. And so you should have an individual relationship with God yourself. Talk to him yourself. Bind his word on your life in everything you do and in all that you see. And so Jesus taught as the greatest of all commandments that we should supremely love God and love one another as we love ourselves. And this is a massive load to fulfill. And when we do, we shall fulfill the whole law. It says in the book of Romans that if we learn to love one another and love God first, that we could fulfill the whole law. So all of the law really basically was trying to teach you the things that that you should do in order to show that you love God, and that you basically is to really make illegal when we don't love God. And when we don't love our neighbors ourselves, it makes it illegal when you have a law saying you shall not steal, you shall not lie, all those things. These are things that love does not do. And so basically that's what the law does, is it makes it illegal for us not to love one another and love God supremely above all. And so now Jesus' reaction here to this scribe who came in sincerity was this. Basically, he told him that there's no other greater love than this, and these are the greatest of all the commandments. And so notice in verse number 34, Mark 12, actually want to back up, I'm skipping 33. This is the reaction that the scribe had to what Jesus said, verse 32, Mark 12 and 32. "And the scribe said unto him, Well, master," he said, the answer was so good, he complimented. Jesus said, "Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he." See, he put God higher than every other thing that called itself God. He says there really is only one God, and there is none other but he. Verse 33, "And to love him with all the heart, and all, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Here's a guy who understood that the sacrifices and the offerings were not as important as loving God and loving your neighbor. That's what exactly went off or front his answers or his thoughts. He came and answered discreetly to Jesus exactly, and what he said was true. He wasn't doing it to be seen. He was saying it because he thought it was true, that he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, nobody else dared to ask him any questions. All these people would come with all these convicting questions, trying to ask the Lord questions that were really to probe and try to find fault with him rather than learn something for themselves. And so we could say that the summary of all the teaching of God may be gained through the practice of learning to love God above all things and to love people as ourselves. That means all people, everyone, no matter what race, nation, kindred, tribe, or tongue they are, we have to learn to love and see them as God does. And this is the measure of true Christian growth, is when we learn to master those things. Now, those sound simplistic, but they really are difficult. It's very difficult because if you allow something else to overtake your life and control you, that is an ungodly thing. That means you exalt that thing to the position of God, and it's better for us if we don't do that. If we have to learn to do that. It's hard for us to learn to love each other as we love ourselves. And so it's very difficult. I don't think we can do it at all unless we pray and seek the face of the Lord. And so that's what we have to do. So the measure of Christian growth could be said to be, how much do you love God? Do you love him supremely? Do you put him before everything? Do you call upon him at all times? Do you filter your life in the world that you come in contact with through the precepts of his word? And I have to say, in some cases, the answer is no, in many cases. So therefore, in order for me to work on the measure of my Christian growth, I have to learn to love God better than I do now. And it's not a natural thing because of our fallen nature. The fallen nature makes us not love God, makes us do like Adam did when he sinned and ran away from God. Rather than running to the Lord as he had done so many times to be in his presence, he took up his self, covered himself, and ran and hid from the presence of God. So we still have some of that kind of fallenness going on in our nature that prevents us from having intimacy with God. And then also even between ourselves, sometimes we have a tendency to be selfish, where we think about ourselves and overlook other people. And so we have to learn these things by faith and by prayer and by the Spirit of God, that we might be able to love other people equally as we love ourselves. And so that's another thing. So the area basically that we could grow in would be in our area of how much do we love God and how much do we love others as we love ourselves. So the measure of Christian growth can be determined by the measure of how much we love God and how much we love others as ourselves. And so these are the things we have to pray about. These are supernatural things that cannot be done by a person that's lost, that does not know God and the pardon of his sin. So it's necessary, first of all, that you be saved, that you call upon God, realize you cannot save yourself, that you are a sinner, that you need grace, you need mercy, and call upon the Lord and ask him to forgive you, wash you and cleanse you in the blood of his son. God provided his son to show you how much he loves us. If we think about the flip side of this, God so loved us, he gave his son in order for him to be crucified, because his standard was so high, you and I could not keep it. And so God provided the deepest thing that we needed, was to be right with God. And so only by God's grace through faith in his son can that be so. And so God's love supplied what you and I needed in order to be clean in his sight. That's how much he loved us. And even though it took death and the shedding of blood to wash our sins away, God provided it. And he made it possible for us to have perfect fellowship with him through Jesus Christ. And so therefore, consider that. And that's the measure of God's love toward us. When we want to learn to grow in Christ, we have to learn to be sacrificial in order to give up personal things of our own, stuff that we would choose and desire for ourselves. We have to turn it over and use it to the benefit of those around us. And that's how we would show love to others. It is loving others as we love ourselves, rather than being selfish and keeping back something from ourselves that would be better served if we gave it to someone else. And so these are the kind of things we have to pray about. And so that's what I'd like to do. And I'm going to go ahead at this time. If there's anybody hearing my message by internet or however you may be hearing it, I want to ask God right now to strengthen you, that you may be able to grow in these areas. These are the two main areas. The good thing about this, it condenses the whole Bible down into two things, and that is loving God supremely above all things and loving your neighbor as yourself. So it's very simplistic. It cuts out all legalism and all other things, and you can certainly understand those two things, but you can also measure where you are in Christ But how well you do those two things. Do you love God supremely? And be honest. Ask yourself and be honest and you'll come up with the right answer. And do you love other people to the point that you're willing to sacrifice your own self? And I tell you, when I ask myself those questions, I find that I come up short. And so these are the things that we have to pray about. But this is the very measure of Christian growth, is how much do you love God and how much do you love your neighbor as yourself? So these are things that we can accomplish, as I mentioned, through prayer. And so if you are not saved, pray with me. And then even if you are, pray with me that God will strengthen you in these areas. Blessed God, our Father, we bless you. We praise you. We come, Father, some of us to ask that you forgive our sin, that you cleanse us. We heard that you provided your son, Jesus Christ, that he might die for us and rise again from the dead in order that he might prove to all men, all angels, all principalities and powers that he had all power in heaven and earth, even the power of death, which was taken away when Adam sinned. And so, Lord, we come by the blood of Jesus. We ask you to forgive our sin, cleanse us, sanctify us, heal us. Give us that internal new birth by your Spirit. Fill us, O God, and lead us and guide us to all truth. And teach us, Father, to love you, because sometimes we measure ourselves. We find that we come short and we don't love you as much as we should. And so, Father, we ask you to cleanse us, teach us, draw us closer to you. You said if we draw nigh unto you, that you would draw nigh unto us. And so, Lord, we come asking you to draw us closer, bring us closer to the cross, fill us with your word, help us to understand the measure of love that you showed for us when you allowed your own son to be crucified on the Roman cross in order that we might be free from our sin. Bless us, God, that we might turn around and share that love with someone else outside of ourselves, oh God, that we might look at other people as more important than our own selves, because we know that we can trust you to keep us because you have brought us from a mighty long way. We bless you today. We thank you. We give you praise. And we ask this and all other blessings in the name of your holy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bless this message as it goes forth, that people might hear it, oh God, and be saved. And we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we ask this in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bless us, oh God, as we separate one from another, as we go to our various destinations. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. We give God praise. I also like to ask God to comfort those who have lost loved ones and that have bereavement going on in their family. Be with them and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we'll take time if there are any questions from anyone, like this time. If there's anything you'd like to ask, you may do it at this time.